Very pleasant good morning to you. Pleasure to be here with the saints. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here and hope that you'll open your Bibles with us this morning as we look to God's Word. Last Sunday on the Lord's Day, we started the year with a sermon that I brought about having not passed this way before. It's a passage out of the book of Joshua. Speaking of this year, we don't know what this year is going to be about. But we can put our trust in God and let Him guide us and protect us and lead us through this year. And I made a point in that sermon of that this can be your best year ever. And that you should try to make it that way. So I hope in the first week you've had some success in trying to perhaps make some changes in your habits, in trying to look more to God's Word, to pray to Him more, and to trust in Him more. My lesson this morning is going to key into that concept a little bit and tie into the thoughts a little. Peter is urging us in this text in 2 Peter chapter 3 to not fall from our steadfastness, clearly indicating we're supposed to be steadfast. This word steadfast, Mr. Strong says, means stability. Mr. Thayer says it is a firm condition. Steadfastness is a firm adherence to the truth, that we do not leave the truth for any reason, including error. In this context of 2 Peter 3, the warning is about being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, believing the lie and accepting the error. Another passage that teaches similar concepts is in Colossians chapter 1. Look there with me just a moment. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 9 beginning. Colossians and in verse 9 says, "We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience." I cannot attain all steadfastness, stability, without knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and bearing fruit. That's the context. Just by Paul's teaching on this, I think we can see the importance of the need for steadfastness. Just a little later in verse 22, this same opening, he says that He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Indeed, if indeed, you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Just from the reading of these three passages that we've put before us this morning, it's not hard to understand that we can fall from our steadfastness. We can fall away from the faith. We can move away from the hope of the gospel. Having at one point obeyed the gospel, to later shrink back and leave the Lord and be eternally lost. And I would argue that will happen if we lose our stability. Now, we all know of Christians who were steadfast to the Lord to the very end. They lived their life faithful to God throughout their entire life. And we know their life had ups and downs, trials, disappointments, hardships, persecutions, temptations. But through all of life, they remained steadfast in their belief in the truth of God. And we too must be steadfast in the Lord to the very end. To remain steadfast, the point of my lesson this morning is to remind us of a couple of things that will help us in being steadfast. As we're striving this year to make this one of our best years ever, let us understand what we need to be doing in order to be steadfast. The first point I want to make, an important thing for us to remember, is that sin is a passing pleasure. That phrase comes to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and in verse 24, beginning. Hebrews 11 and 24. Scripture says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Moses had the best Egypt could offer. He knew the ease of great wealth, servants, elevated position. He likely saw others in Pharaoh's house who participated in the pleasures of sin. He was familiar with it. But Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He saw the foolishness of sin. Brethren, we need to understand there is no long-term joy. There is no sustainable pleasures in sin. Sin demands that you keep coming back for more. Ultimately, the pleasure that you found at the beginning passes away forever, with no way to get back to that point. The rush of doing something that you may know is wrong and you think you got away with it, you're not going to be able to return to that moment ever again. Because what first satisfied will no longer satisfy. You must now dive deeper into sin to find any pleasure. I think a good example of that is the use of alcohol and drugs. The rush that came with just a little now requires more and more and more to find any pleasure. So, brethren, I ask you and encourage you to be warned that a few moments of sinful pleasure is often exchanged for a lifetime of sorrow and regret. Dabbling in sin can lead us where we never intend to go. It can hold us much longer than we ever planned. And it can hurt more people than we ever could have imagined. In James chapter 1, we find a great passage helping us to understand how we are tempted. In James 1 and in verse 14, he says, "Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Sin is an appeal to our lust. And what we lust after is different for each of us. But there are some common lusts that come to people. Satan appeals to our lust, and all of us can be enticed by our lust. That word enticed literally means bait. Satan appeals to our lust, and he makes it look really, really good. It's something that's going to bring me pleasure in some way. But even if we look at the concept of a meal, which we're all familiar with, we're all going to eat lunch today probably. The meal is appealing to us. We're hungry. That's part of the body. But we can lust after that so much that we want it. We eat it, and then guess what happens? I'm hungry again. It's a passing pleasure. The pleasure of the body is a strong temptation. James teaches us not to be deceived. Because when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So we must not fall into the devil's deception about sin. He paints this beautiful picture about sin and he puts it in front of us. And it's only in reality going to kill us. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the person who sins will die. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 11, it says that God, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. There's that phrase again, that concept. They take pleasure in wickedness. They didn't believe the truth. They believed what was false. And the context of this passage is about the false teacher. In verse 13 of this same chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. But people take pleasure in false doctrine. To believe falsely they are right with God, while indulging in what God says are sinful things. That God permits unlawful things that they enjoy and took pleasure in that wickedness. We must not fall from our steadfastness to take pleasure in wickedness, brethren. The appeal to some Christians is to believe the lie of salvation by grace only. Therefore, I do not have to be obedient to the things that God says, or all of the things that God says. Some are attracted to sinful things, like the worship with instruments of music, or allowing women to be involved in the leadership of the church, or to take from the Lord's treasury to show benevolence to all men. All of these are contrary to God's word, but men take pleasure in wickedness. Look with me again in Hebrews, this time in chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's read together in verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12. Scripture says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Very plainly stated in this reading is that sin is deceitful. It looks good, but it'll kill me. We can fall away because of an unbelieving heart. And that's said about Christians who at one point believed and obeyed the gospel. They lost their stability, their assurance. They failed to remain steadfast. How did that happen? They were hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The word hardened literally means to render stubborn. Their minds become less sensitive than they were to the teaching of God, and their conscience becomes less tender. No longer are they going to hear the word of God and believe it. And there are a lot of examples in the Old and in the New Testament of people who hardened their hearts to the truth of God. Most of these wanted to continue in their sin, and they rejected what God said. Two great examples of this. The first is in Exodus chapters 7 through 14. where we are told that Pharaoh hardened his heart 14 times. Now, six of those say the Lord hardened his heart, which was done by God giving Pharaoh a command and a truth, and Pharaoh rejected it. All of these are about Pharaoh's choice. He chose to continue to do what he wanted to do, which was not what God wanted. Another example is found in Acts chapter 19 and in verse 8. It says that Paul entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some were becoming hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So these are Jewish people who rejected the gospel because they wanted to continue in the law of Moses. Their heart was hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. They rejected the truth. Now you and I can allow our heart to become stubborn, to become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's one thing for us to stumble and sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we've all repented, and we've all sought the Lord's forgiveness and returned to the Lord. But it's something more to desire to continue in sin. Because we might not see any immediate consequence of our sin, some decide to keep participating, to do it again and again and again and again and again, habitually. And when a brother or sister in Christ approaches and speaks to them about their sin and the law of God, their heart is now hardened. The pleasure of sin means more to them than the law of God. They have been deceived. Looking again at Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12, which we read a moment ago, it says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." As brethren, God places a responsibility upon each and every one of us to take care. King James says to take heed. And the Greek here literally means to look at. When we can see a fellow Christian struggling, we have a responsibility to assist, that they not succumb to the deceitfulness of sin. That unbelieving heart can fall away from God. And it's a dangerous position. So our taking care is accomplished through the means of encouragement. And we're supposed to do that day after day. You see, the deceitfulness of sin, when you get caught up in sin and you're doing it more and more regularly, once a week or once a month is probably not going to be very effective for me when somebody tries to encourage me. I need to hear something daily. I need that reassurance. I need that strength given to me through courage from someone else. So we can't grow weary of encouraging because we see that ongoing danger of the deceitfulness of sin. And we feel an urgency to encourage. And we have to follow through on that. Sin is a passing pleasure. And the ongoing effort of encouragement helps us to remain steadfast. I also want us to remember that this world is passing away. A familiar text to many of us is in 1 John chapter 2. And beginning in verse 15. 1 John 2 and 15 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So all of the lusts that everyone in the world gets pleasure from fulfilling, they're not permanent. They're going to end when this world ends. To love the world is easily equated with taking pleasure in wickedness, to fulfilling the lusts of the heart. These come from the world, not from God. And we do not love God when we fulfill these lusts. The one who does the will of God lives forever. That's what's permanent. It's not logical then to love the world when we know it's going to pass away. And understanding that truth helps us remain steadfast. The passing pleasure of sin is compared with living forever with God. Eternity with God, or 5 seconds of pleasure. But if you don't think about the eternity with God, all you're thinking about is the 5 seconds of pleasure. We've got to keep this in mind, because it helps us to see what the right choice will be. In a worldly sense, all of us do this a lot, choosing the more permanent and lasting over the temporary and fleeting. Probably everybody here, most everybody here, has purchased a house, or they live in an apartment. I don't know any of us who live in a tent or choose to live in a tent. We want something more lasting, more permanent. We choose to buy the reliable car, not the one that's passing away, right? We choose to buy clothes that are durable and not just a one-time use. We buy tools that are well-made rather than the cheap ones because we want it to last. Over and over, we demonstrate the truth of this principle. But it's so many multitudes more wise to choose to do the will of God and live forever than to love the world. Look with me now in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read about 11 verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying, 'Peace and safety,' then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing." There is a promise in verse 2 of this text. The day of the Lord will come. And we know this full well. We're convinced of this truth. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the light. No one's going to know when it's coming. So being steadfast is to live in such a way that demonstrates I am ready when Christ returns. Whenever that is, I'm ready. I'm always ready. Look again at the text in verse 5. We are not of night nor of darkness. How true. Scripture says we're the sons of light. We do not live in the darkness of sin. Verse 6 says, let us not sleep like those in the world around us, but rather let us be alert and sober, being watchful and serious. To be sober is somewhat defined in verse 8 as having faith, love, and hope, faith in God and the things that He has said, belief to the point of obedience, love for God demonstrated in my obedience and loyalty. The hope of salvation is based on the promise of God. That's our desire and our goal. So why give it up and fall from steadfastness for the passing pleasure of sin? Verse 9 says, God has not destined us to wrath. Our hope of salvation is well placed. God has destined us for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, we will live together with Him. For that reason, we must not give in to temptation, tribulation, the deceptions of sin. We have to keep our eyes focused on the narrow path that God has set before us. And we have to encourage one another and build up one another that we not lose our steadfastness. Marvelous text in 1 Thessalonians 5. One other text I would remind you of is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. A fantastic chapter about the resurrection of the dead. The righteous and the unrighteous will rise from the dead and be judged by God, is what this chapter says. All the people will put off mortality and put on immortality, verse 53 says. Not just the believers, all people. Physical death, in that sense, verse 54 says, is swallowed up in victory. And the sting of death is sin. To think that I've died in sin and I'm going to be condemned by God, that's the sting of death. But verse 57 says, God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to live again eternally with Him. And in that context of this great chapter, look at the last verse. Therefore, this is the conclusion. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Everything in this life is temporary. The eternal is where we place our hope. So our focus in this life is on doing the will of God. We're going to be stable, immovable, not just doing the work of the Lord, but always abounding in it. So why do we live in this steadfast way? Because it's not in vain in the Lord. It's not useless. There's a reason to be steadfast. Perhaps you are guilty of desiring and participating in the pleasures of sin. I urge you to think on this lesson. The deceitfulness of sin compared with the truth of God. That this world is passing away and the promise is eternity with God. We all need to be steadfast. We need to be doing the things that are going to enable us to be steadfast. To attain all steadfastness, all stability, we need knowledge of God's Word, wisdom and understanding to apply it in our life, and we're at work bearing fruit unto God. Beyond ourselves, we have to take care of one another as fellow Christians and encourage one another day after day. As a Christian, I would urge you to repent of any sin, to leave that sin, to become focused on God and His Word and live steadfastly for Him. Finally, I want you to consider for just a brief moment that the pleasures of sin that are passing in this life do not compare with the pleasures of serving God. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, it says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." You can't compare the two, yet men want to. In Psalm 73 and verse 25, the psalmist writes, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." As Christians, we are lovers of God. We are obedient to Him. That brings the pleasures in our life of contentment, peace, joy, purpose, comfort, things that all men are looking for in the pleasures of sin, which they will never find there. It's only through serving God. In Scripture, the word blessed means happy. James 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Do you love God? Do you desire the pleasures that come from fellowship with God? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we encourage you this morning to repent of your sin, to confess Him before men and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And let's all determine to live steadfastly in obedience to God. If you need to come forward and respond to the invitation, come now as we stand and sing.